schedule as far as subject matter we had proposed to study. What we're doing now was actually supposed to have been the third thing we covered, and we have gone so far off of any type of idea that I had in mind, but that's all right. I'm glad we spent the time on the prophets and the priesthood. I plan on spending the time on the kings. And so, as far as the history, now tonight I'm going to spend the first half of the class just reorienting. It's been a long time. How long have we had this class? A year? Two? April 23rd, 1978. Got it right here. It's what it says. Got to be the gospel. All right. Then that'll be it. 1978. And we're just now getting to the books of the Bible? I decided I'd never get a job at a college teaching. I'd never get through a course. Well, that's all right. We're in no hurry. The survey class. But tonight, the first half, I just want to reorient us because we're going to study the books of the Bible. I'll tell you right now, we're not going to study them in the order they are in your Bible, nor will we stick precisely with the order that they are in the Jewish Bible. What we're going to do is study the books of the Bible in outline form that we're doing in the survey form by the order in which they fall in history. And that way we'll be doing some jumping around as far as your Bible is concerned, but as far as history is concerned, it'll fit into place. I think you have to have some order if you're going to remember and recall. And what I want to do when we start Genesis and these books is to, in your Bible, either in the table of contents, which I think is a good place to do it, or in the book itself, at the front of the book itself, give a date and some of the circumstances, just so that you'll be able to zero right in on that particular book and where it fits into history and what's going on as far as the author is concerned. And that's the type of thing we're going to cover: authors, historical circumstances, and then we will briefly summarize and survey the book. And some you might be a little disappointed in, others you'll wonder why we take as much time. But each of the books lend themselves to different types of study. Now, what my ultimate objective for the survey class is, when we have completed all of our study of the Old Testament, criticism, everything, and the intertestament period, and all of the New Testament, and church age history, if I'm still alive, what I want to do is to then take books of the Bible, and we'll do chapters at a time in this class. So that, because when you hit verse by verse, and the reason I'm doing this is for me as much as for you, because when you study as we do, verse by verse, then we lose maybe things that are in a lot of the other books, and you will benefit the most. And what we'll do is just be able to take a chapter and go through it, find out what doctrines are taught, what's there. We won't study any doctrines, but we'll just go through, here's this doctrine, here's that doctrine, here's this principle, that principle, and we'll all learn a lot. And what we'll do is just take books of the Bible and eventually go through the entire Bible. And that really is my ultimate aim, because there are so many principles in Hosea, Habakkuk, that are so good for Isaiah and other books of the Bible that we study. But because we go verse by verse and word by word, sometimes we lose and maybe never get to some of the books in the Bible. And I've talked to Bob many times, and he just has reconciled himself to the fact that as far as teaching, there are books of the Bible that he simply will not get to. And that's all there is to that. Some books have to be covered two or three times, and it's not that the other books are unimportant, But what I want to do is to take some of the books that we may not get to and do those first and just go through them and find out what is in all of the books. At that point, we will read through the Bible, and which there is no merit in doing that, but there's no harm if you know what you're reading. So that's what we'll be doing and eventually. But right now, we're going to just orient ourselves to all of the books of the Bible. I certainly hope, I meant to tell you last week, I hope you brought your survey chart. I'm going to try to have a few more printed up, but I hope you brought the one chart where the books of the Bible are in red, because if you did, that's going to be very valuable tonight in getting an overall perspective of everything. All right, let's first of all, as always, begin with getting our mind into gear of concentration, if not confession of sin. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful once again for the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves and study the Word of God. Father, we have learned many wonderful principles in the survey class, oriented ourselves to the historical flow and the fact that Jesus Christ does indeed control all history. And therefore, Father, we dedicate the next few moments to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit that we might, as we begin our study of the books of the Bible, orient ourselves that this is the Word of God. The circumstances under which each of these books were brought into play, the message that you had intended for man, not only at the time in which it was written, but for us as we exist today. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name, amen. Now, we started out in a general introductory form of information where we took up several different things. You'll recall the Bible and faith. The name Bible and canon and the distinction between the two. We studied Old Testament, New Testament versus Old Covenant and New Covenant. Inspiration of the Bible, where we defined biblical inspiration, biblical authority, the theme of the Bible, which is not the redemption of man, but the glorification of Christ, the purpose of the Bible, language. We noted some things about language, which we'll get back into in the history section, the Apocrypha. We studied some things in dealing with the Apocrypha. Approaches to the study of the Word of God, very important. The Bible and archaeology. And then the final, the order of the books of the Bible, which we are going to examine in just a few moments. Now, we divided up the history of the Bible, of the Old Testament. When I say Bible, I mean Old Testament, into some 12 or 13 categories, you'll recall. Now, all of the books of the Bible, of the Old Testament, fit into somewhere into this scheme of outline. And the outline of the Bible is relatively easy to follow and easy to think your way through. And therefore, whenever you turn to a book of the Bible, like if you have one of the little charts that we made up that were Bible size, you're able to zero right in where it fits in history, what was going on in history, and be able to handle it in regard to history. And we divided it up, you'll recall, into, first of all, creation to Abraham, Abraham to Moses, and then the Exodus, following up with Moses, the conquest, the judges, the kingdom divided, and then Judah alone, captivity, return to the land, temple completed, Old Testament canon completed, and the Intertestament period. And we have a brief outline in regard to all of these sections. For an example, let's just hit a few because these are the things that you'll cover in these sections. Creation to Abraham covered a lot of things, and these are the things we'll cover today, tonight, in our review of Genesis. The creation of man, the fall, and things related to that. Each of these we have points underneath, you'll recall. The grace of salvation, the first attack on salvation, Operation Murder, the flood, the second attack, the angelic infiltration, the races on earth, the Tower of Babel, and that pretty well covered creation to Abraham. And we will note the various passages of Scripture that deal with each of those. The second section, Abraham to Moses, and this covered Genesis 12 through 50. By the way, the first covered Genesis 1 through 12, 1 through 11. Then 12 through 50, now we're not into Genesis yet, just kind of briefing you once again on where we are. We've been in this thing for 2 years, so a review tonight is not out of line. Abraham to Moses, we have the founding of the Jewish race. And this takes up Genesis 12 through 50. We have the call of Abraham, the period of the journeys, change in location. We have the period of Ishmael, Isaac, and then we have a period of grace. That's the great promises given to Abraham. By the way, all of these just outline the book of Genesis while you're at it. We'll look at it again. But the call of Abraham, Genesis 12, period of journeys, changing his location, 12 through 14, Ishmael, 15 and 16, Isaac, 17 through 21. And you recall the main thing about Isaac is choosing a wife for him. And the period of grace, the covenants, 22 through 25. And then the period of Jacob. And all of the things dealing with Jacob. And we studied how the study of Jacob really deals with the study of Joseph more than it does with Jacob. And you should be well acquainted with the period of Jacob and moving the people down to Egypt. Every one of you should be able to give a very good dissertation on why God had to move the family into Egypt by now. And if you can't do that, then I have really failed both in this class and in our study of Genesis. This brought us to the Exodus. All of this now has taken us, creation to Abraham, Abraham to Moses, and Abraham to Moses, we have the formation of the people. Let's get us a little map on here. And there's the Jordan, here's the Persian Gulf, and we have the Euphrates Tigris River, and here's where Abraham was called from, and his travelings brought him down into this area. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then we have with Jacob the moving of the family into Egypt. Now the next section we take up Moses period. And this involves all of the things dealing with the Exodus. And we have studied so many things under Moses. Remember, you can divide Moses' life into three easy sections. 40 years training in Egypt, where he learned the administration, authority, military, so many things that he needed to know. The second 40 years training in the desert, and the third 40 years training in the wilderness journey. And that pretty well outlines the entire period of Moses' life. Moses in Egypt was enslavement, and then we studied the pharaohs and all related to them, and we'll get back to that when we get into our historical section. And then in the desert, this is where, of course, he meets the Lord and makes a decision and to lead the people. And then Moses in the desert has a great training from the Lord. And we have several points under that, you recall, but we're not going to review all of that. I'm just giving you oriented to where we are in all of the books. The Exodus itself, Moses before Pharaoh, the various plagues. Moses went before Pharaoh twice, and then the plagues, the Passover, and then the great Exodus itself. And all of this is still in the book of Genesis. It's amazing how many sections of the Bible are in the book of Genesis itself. Then after the Exodus, of course, is the conquest. And they have come out across, and they're camped over here on this side of Jordan, this being Jordan. And Moses is not allowed to cross due to arrogance and his great failure. And Joshua took over, and you're well equipped with Joshua, preparation, conquest, division of the land, and farewell address, all of which we have spent time in studying. Then came the period of the judges, should have been the greatest period of human history. The period of the judges was designed by God. He had given them the land, you recall, and he gave them the land divided. Here's Jordan, so we'll just take the land like this. And he gave them the land divided into 12 tribes. That gives maximum freedom. So they had maximum freedom in each tribe. They had maximum responsibility in each tribe. Each tribe had its own priesthood, and therefore the principle was that no one person should live more than about 20 miles from where Bible doctrine was being taught. Actually, it was around 12 miles, but give or take somewhere around 15 miles. No one should have been further away than 15 miles from Bible doctrine. Maximum freedom. No one a sovereign control over them outside of the Word of God itself. That was their constitution. And so you have the Word of God as their rule, and it should have been the greatest period. Remember, he did not give them the land united. He gave them the land divided. And this gave them great freedom, great responsibility, and so many wonderful things in the plan of God. For a nation, remember, for a nation, you must have a people, and that's what was going on down in Egypt. They were developing into a couple of million people, and so they had the people. Secondly, they must have a land. That's the promised land. That's the book of Joshua. And they must have a constitution. The constitution is the Mosaic law that we'll be studying tonight in Galatians. So the Constitution, and here you have the ingredients then of a people. Of course, the language is Hebrew, but you have a people, a land, and a Constitution. And all of this put together for this nation. And then we have the period of the judges, absolutely great period of history. Everything should have went so well. This area, positive to doctrine, God prospered. This area, negative, God could still prosper over here. And it was just perfectly designed, absolutely perfectly designed by God. And instead, it turned out to be the worst period that the Jews will ever experience, because they couldn't handle freedom and they weren't positive to the Lord. And so we had 16 judges, or 12. Remember, we had a problem with the numbering, and we'll get back to that when we study the book of Joshua, which will be very shortly. But the book of Judges. But they had 16 judges, or 12, and we divided them up into three or four groups. The last three judges in Ruth, and then the end of the period, which was total anarchy and chaos and rejection against God, and therefore you come to Samuel. Then, of course, the kingdom united, and able to study that very easily. You have the development of the kingdom united, then you have Saul. Of course, Samuel is the one in charge of all of this. Samuel, then you have Saul, and then David, and then after David, you have his son Solomon. And, of course, all of that makes a nice little outline, and you have a outline of Saul's life, David, with all of the problems mixed with his family and his uncle's families and his sons and daughters and murders and rapes and everything else. And you have a study of that, and then, of course, Solomon and how reversionistic he was. This brought about the end of the United Kingdom and brought about the divided kingdom. And as a result of Solomon's maladjustment, you recall, God himself, it wasn't not the people, remember that, God himself divided the nation, knew it for divine discipline. So you had a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom we're studying right now in Isaiah. So you have a southern kingdom and the makeup of the people. Then, of course, after the divided kingdom, you have them taken into Babylonian captivity, and then the coming back together with the return from the exile and rebuilding of the temple. All right, amongst all of that we've just covered, everything we've just covered, once again, looking at it in a broad form, we have all of the books of the Bible, of the Old Testament, somewhere intermingled in all of that, or all of the books. Now, one good thing about the chart, if you still have yours, and I hope you do, is that all of the books of the Bible are in red, and you can just kind of zero in on where they all fall as far as history is concerned. But not fooling myself that all of you brought that, we'll save that type of study for just a moment. Now, before I get into the book of Genesis, before we get into the book of Genesis, we're going to have to take a more precise look at the books of the Old Testament. the arrangement of the books of the Old Testament and how they are arranged. The books of the Old Testament. Now, you should know by now that as far as the English Bible, the books are not in order that they are in the Hebrew Bible. The content, of course, is the same, but the order of the books is not the same. And I might add, order is not inspired. The Word of God is inspired, but by no means the order. So we can take them in our survey any way we desire. But I'm going to do it according to periods of history more than anything, so that you can kind of fill into, as we have been studying in the history of everything, and how they fit in with the various kings. All right, let's first of all take a look at the order in the Hebrew text, the Hebrew Bible. In other words, when I sit down to study, in fact, you recall I brought a Hebrew Bible here, but we've picked up many since that time. But when I sit down with the Hebrew Bible, they are in different order than they are in the English Bible. This is one of those little things that you have to get in used to doing when you first learn Hebrew and start studying in the Hebrew Bible. First thing you've got to learn to do, and it's aggravating sometime when you think you should know it, because even now, once in a while, I'll goof, but we'll look for Genesis right here. Well, in the Hebrew Bible, Genesis is right here, the back, because they read backwards. And so you have to, it's very, very awkward to pick up, instead of opening it here, you lay it this way and open it up here and turn your pages just the opposite that we do. So that in itself was confusing enough. But the order of the books of the Bible is, well, if that isn't enough, the language once you get inside is even different. All right. Let me give you the order of the Hebrew Bible. It's divided into three sections. It's divided into three sections. It is composed of 22 or 24 books, depending here again, some Hebrew Bibles, 22, some 24. The English Bible is divided, now I'm referring to Old Testament canon, the English Bible is divided into five sections and is composed of 39 books. Neither is inspired. One may be easier, the other it has its advantages, so it really doesn't matter all that much. If you're from a Jewish culture, you'll have three sections, 22 books, 24 books. English is five sections and 39 books. Let's take the three sections of the Hebrew Bible. You have, first of all, the law or the Torah. The law or the Torah. Secondly, you have the second section is the section of the prophets. Section of the prophets. The third section is the writings, called the writings. Now, you will recall, I'm not going to get into it, but you recall how when we studied the prophets, how their authority and the various degrees of prophets is corresponding to these three sections. All right, let's just take a few things about the Torah. Now, we're getting ready. This is the introduction now to the survey of the books of the Bible. And the first section in the Hebrew Bible is called the Torah. It's made up of five books of Moses. Five books all by one author, Moses. And obviously covers much more than the law. It covers history. Does cover the law. It covers Exodus. And we're going to find out, we're going to come up with a new name for Numbers. That's a pitiful name. And, you know, it just amazes me. If I can, I love this class because of your volition and the consistency of this class. But it amazes me the number of people that are so anti-military and in Christian circles that just have totally dropped the entire Word of God then. And because if you want to talk about military, of course, the entire book of Joshua. But the book of Numbers, you know what the book of Numbers is? Book of Numbers is building your army. It's numbering the number of men in each tribe that are militarily prepared. Now, we call it numbering. but it's called logistics. It's called getting all of your units down. How powerful are we when we move out so that we can disengage our various units and have so many units doing one thing and doing another? Numbers is really a misnomer for it, because there's a lot better names for it, but we'll come to that eventually in dealing with the book of Numbers. But the Pentateuch or the Torah, it's called the Pentateuch, five books, or the Torah, contains much more than just the law. The second section is the prophets. The prophets are broken into various categories. You have the former prophets. The former prophets. Then you have the later prophets. You have the former prophets. Then you have the later prophets. They are called so because the former prophets wrote before the 9th century B.C. That's all that it means. When you talk about former prophets, you're talking about prophets before 9th century B.C., they are broken down or divided into major and minor prophets. They are further broke down into major and minor prophets. And you recall this is not due to their message, but because of the briefness. Not due to their message, but due to the briefness of the book. So you have former prophets and later prophets. We'll study all of these. For an example, the former prophets are Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and Samuel. Their latter prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and the 12. And the 12 are your latter prophets, meaning very brief in what they have to say. The last section is called the writings. Called the writings. And these are written by men who have the gift but not the office of prophet. These are written by men who have the gift but not the office of prophet, like David. David had the gift of a prophet but not the office, and you should be well familiar with now in your notes on the prophets. I appreciate some of the comments in regard to our study of the prophets and the high and the priesthood, and you should have a very good understanding of how they work together. So David, Daniel, Solomon, all of these were men that had the gift but not the office. Now this is broken down in the Hebrew Bible. The writings are broken down into the Hebrew Bible into sections. The first section is called poetical. The first section is called poetical. And that, of course, is due to the material therein. For an example, in the poetical, you have Psalms, Job, and Proverbs. Psalm, Job, and Proverbs. Next, you have what is called the scrolls. The scrolls. The scrolls. The reason they're called that is because they were in scrolls, and at various festivals, Jewish festivals, they would pull out a scroll for a given festival. Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, Ruth, Judges, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. And they'd pull these out and read them at various festivals. And then the last is called the historical or prophetic historical. Prophetic historical. Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Chronicles. For an example, on the scrolls, they would pull out Song of Solomon and would read that at the Passover. Ruth would be read at the Pentecost. Ecclesiastes was read at the Feast of the Tabernacle, and so Lamentations would be read on the anniversary of the destruction of Jerusalem, and so they would read various of the scrolls. And you should have some idea of the 22 versus the 24 books and how Josephus is the one that gave us all of that and how that is broken down. And now the order that we have them in the English Bible. In the English Bible, we divide it up in the English Bible. First of all, we have the Pentateuch. First of all, we have the Pentateuch or the Torah. And again, that's the first five books of the Bible. I guess everyone starts off there, no matter what else you do. Then the second section of the five sections that we have deal with history. History, historical books. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuels, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. I'll give you all of that later. The history books are Joshua, Judges, Ruth, the Samuels, 1st and 2nd, the Kings, 1st and 2nd, the Chronicles, 1st and 2nd, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Then we have what are called the poetry books. The poetry books. It's the way they are in the English Bible. The poetry books. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. So if you need to look, you're in Bible class, and I say, let's turn to Ezra. Well, all you have to remember, Ezra is a history book, and it's right in the section of the history books with Chronicles, Kings, and so you start flipping through that area as your mind is working, and you know it comes after Kings and Chronicles, somewhere along with Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, and you kind of can fill yourself in. You just think categorically. So you can turn to these books very quickly. And I was in a denominational church. We used to have sword drills, and this was the main thing, as to just remember, as soon as they say a book, your mind immediately went to the section of the Bible, and then you turned to it very quickly, or you tried to turn to it very quickly. And sometimes it didn't work out so well. By the way, you may think that type of thing was corny, but when I get this thing going, the children are going to have sword drills with just this training in mind, so that they'll immediately be able to think in categories and where the books are and be able to find it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that type of operation for children in learning to think of where the books of the Bible are and have these kind of ideas in mind. All right, the next section was poetry. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Then we have the major prophets. We list the major prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. You have the writings of Isaiah, the writings of Jeremiah, then Ezekiel and Daniel. Then you have the minor prophets. And right here is where we really get into a lot of our problems, because a lot of the minor prophets are all the way around in history. But we lump them together in our English Bible, but they're all over history. For an example, they are listed in our Bible, Hosea, Joel. You don't need to write them down. They're in your table of contents. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah, and Malachi. Now, the problem is, all of these books are all over the Bible. And for an example, Hosea goes all the way up to the period of Amos and Jonah. But there he is, way down near in this last section. So they all will vary as to where they're supposed to be. Of course, Malachi is fits where he belongs, the last book in time and in the Bible. All right, that takes care of a general idea of where these things fit into the book of the Bible, the books of the Bible, and what is happening. All right, we have some time now. Let's get to work and see what we can get done in Genesis. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Genesis, we're not going to spend that much time on, simply because you ought to know it very well. Genesis. Now, next week we're going to do Exodus and Leviticus, and those we can start spending some time in. But I'm not going to sit down tonight and break down the book of Genesis and spend a long time in the book of Genesis, because quite frankly, every one of you should be well familiar with everything in the book of Genesis. All right. It's very simple. You have, as we've already seen in our beginning of our study, you already have the creation and how the creation fits into the book of Genesis. Then you have the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel crisis, then Abraham. By the way, that those take up the first 11 chapters, first 10 or 11 chapters of Genesis. Genesis 1 through 11. The creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel crisis. Then the second section, 12 through 50. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And Genesis just very easily fits itself into an outline form in regard to all of that, and you don't really need to get much more involved than all of that and understanding those things. All right, let's break it down a little bit more. First of all, you have the creation. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Then Genesis chapters 4 and following deal with the development of the generations of the earth. Then you have the generations of Noah, chapters 6 through 9. Chapters 6 through 9, the generations of Noah. Then you have the great civilization bowl, the generations of the sons of Noah, Genesis 10 and 11. All right, let's break some of that down. You have the generations of Shem, chapter 11, verses 10 through 26. The generations of Terah, Genesis 11, 27. The generations of Ishmael, will follow. Then the generations of Isaac, and then of course we pick up with our major separation. One other thing I want to do with Genesis before we leave Genesis and the study of Genesis is give you a concept of what is going on in the chapter. So just start writing. If you're going to work on the book of Genesis, then I want to give you this, and then we're going to get ready for the book of Exodus. I'm just not excited about Genesis. We've studied it in so many different ways and so many different times that all of this just seems to be redundant as far as I'm concerned. All right, chapter 1, creation. Chapter 1, creation. Chaos and restoration. Very simple. Chapter 2, divine institution number 2, marriage. Chapter 3, the fall. Chapter 3, fall, expulsion, cursing, redemption, all in chapter 3. All right, you have the fall, the expulsion from the garden, the cursing, redemption. Chapter 4, you have the development of civilization. Your first development of civilization is death. Death, and this, of course, is Cain killing Abel. Chapter 5, development of historical genealogies. In other words, you start developing the genealogies of Cain and Seth and the people that are there. Chapter 6, the flood and divine judgment. God's view of angelic infiltration, apostasy. Chapter 7, the deliverance. The deliverance of Noah and his family. Very interesting chapter and study is Noah. Sometime we'll have to take up a Noah special. Chapter 8, is really, if you just want to put it in, it's the bird chapter of the Bible. Noah and his two birds. Chapter 9, God's covenant with Noah. Chapter 10, we'll just call chapter 10, it's part of the civilization bowl, but we'll just call it the ethnology of man. The ethnology of man. Chapter 11, I have a good title I'd give you for that one, God's View of the United Nations. God's View of the United Nations. Of course, that's the Tower of Babel. Chapter 12 deals with the calling of Abraham, and if you're studying it, there is a forsaking of two marriages there. Forsaking of two marriages, and deals with the call of Abraham. Chapter 13, God's faithfulness. Those of you that want to read through the Bible, these are the things you're reading. God's faithfulness, Abrahamic covenant. Chapter 14 is a great chapter of victory over the enemy. Victory over the enemy and over self. Chapter 15, the cure for worry, God's word. Some of the great things we learned from Abraham. Chapter 16, Abraham fornicates from God, Operation Ishmael. Chapter 17, confirmation of the Abrahamic covenant. Chapter 18, Sodom and Gomorrah. Chapter 19, further divine judgment. Further divine judgment on apostasy. Chapter 20, marriage forsaken at Gerar, G-E-R-A-R. Chapter 21, this is a good one for you, the miracle of laughter. And right along with it, 22, the sacrifice of laughter. The Bible has much to say about laughing. Now, I could have come up with titles that are academic, but why be academic? Let's just get some things so you have some idea of what you're reading as well as the concept behind it. Chapter 23. The promise of the promised land. and the inhabitants. Here's a title. I know you'll go home and read the Bible tonight. Chapter 24, The Perfect Marriage. Oh, and I like 25. Chapter 25, two sellouts. Two sellouts, two dummies. Chapter 26, a marriage forsaken. Chapter 27, the undeserved blessings of Jacob. The undeserved blessing of Jacob. Chapter 28, the supplanter becomes a servant. Very important chapter. 29 again. Give you another chapter to read. Goodness, we're running out of time. 29 is the perfect marriage. You have time to read two chapters tonight on the perfect marriage. Chapter 30, the birth of the 12 tribes. You and I have studied that on Genesis. Chapter 31, Jacob's fear. Chapter 32, Jacob's name changes to Israel. Thirty-three, a grace meeting. See why I survey now. I think it's going to be better in the books that you're not familiar with. This shows the superficiality of survey rather than verse by verse, or at least chapter by chapter. But at least it'll orient you if you want to read through the book of Genesis. 34, Jacob reaps what he sows. Jacob reaps what he sows. 35, the covenant confirmed in death. The covenant confirmed in death. 36, Esau. 37, you're well familiar with all of this now. Joseph loved and hated at the same time. Of course, you know and understand that. 38, just put down X chapter. Those of you that came to our study, that's the great X-rated chapter of the Bible. Judah fornicates. You could look at it a lot of ways. Judah's great failure, but when we studied it, it's just the X-rated chapter of the Bible. Now I know there are three chapters you'll read tonight. The two on perfect marriages and the X-rated. All right. 39, Joseph remains faithful. The integrity of Joseph. 40, well, there's a lot going on in 40, but let's just put down, even the butler forgets Joseph. Forgotten by everyone but the Lord, and who else care matters. 41, Joseph rules. Joseph promoted in prosperity. 42, first visit to Egypt. 43, the second visit to Egypt. 44, the plot of Joseph, or Jesus Christ controlling history. The plot of Joseph. 45, blessing by association. Brothers are blessed by association with their brother Joseph. 46, Jacob on the wagon. That's the caravan back up to down to Egypt. 47. Chapter 47, the victory of God's grace. Chapter 48, cross hand blessing, Ephraim and Manasseh, the cross hand blessing. Chapter 49, prophetic blessings. Or the distribution of Jacob's inheritance. Remember on Tuesday night that Jacob is giving out what Jacob has, and all Jacob has is a future history. So he measures out each son's portion of what he has. His treasure is his future. So he gives them their various rewards. And chapter 50, Jacob buried and Joseph's bones. So the book of Genesis, again, I can't get too excited about it. We could have spent maybe another class in it. But let's get to work now on things we have not been familiar with and start next week on Exodus and move on to our study. We've already studied Moses in fairly good detail in our study of the survey, and I'm not going to spend a whole night reviewing all of that, going through all about Moses. You have a very good set of notes on Moses as the author of the Pentateuch. And we're not going to spend much time on Joshua because we've already spent 2 or 3 years on that. But I want to move into books that you're not so familiar with and in the survey. But I do have to cover a lot of this because I want to get it down for the teachers of the children when this is turned into their material. All right, let's close and get ready for Galatians. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we are thankful. The study of the Word of God, Father, we are most grateful for your word. It is our task to understand Bible doctrine. It is our task to understand the writings of the Word of God, every verse, every line, every word. And therefore, Father, it demands an understanding of the Bible and the time in which it was written, understanding the circumstances of the author, and therefore gives us correct interpretation and understanding of your word. And therefore, Father, we continue to thank you for this time and pray that you will continue to allow us to enjoy it. To this end, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.